Here's Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 baseball analyst. Steve, we were talking about these new rules that will be implemented in 2020. I saw you tweeting about it today, the three-batter minimum for a reliever. And I noticed you weren't a big fan. Take us through that thought process. Why do you not like this idea of a new rule?
Right. Well, first, I think it materially changes the strategy of the game, and I think it ties the hands of the manager, where you're saying to the manager, go out and win the game. Oh, but oh, by the way, you can't do this, this, or that. So go ahead, go get them. And effectively, the manager would be put in a position to either, because of the usage of this, to either use lesser relievers in high-leverage situations or risk injury for his pitchers. Because what happens a lot during the season is the manager would go to a guy in his bullpen and say, can you get one out for me today? Can you get me one guy? And a lot of times, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a situational left-hander, it could be a power arm right-hander. It could be a guy with a slider. It could be a ground ball pitcher who's gotten a lot of usage recently. And he says, listen, if I have that one at-bat where I need to get a double play, can I go to you? And a lot of times the guys would typically say yes, and the manager might go and out there and think, okay, this is the way I'm going to go about doing it, bringing that reliever to try to get a double play or get a big strikeout in an inning, that sort of thing. And now, anybody you bring in a game, even with two outs in the inning, you have to understand that you better be willing for that guy to have to face three batters. Sure, maybe he'll get the first out, the inning will end, and you'll be able to take him out. But if he doesn't, and a guy gets a hit, you've got to leave him in. Then if the next guy gets on, you got to leave him in. And you're now putting at risk one of your better pitchers who might be a bit fatigued. And so you're going to end up going with lesser relievers in high-leverage situations. And there will be games lost that managers are going to say, if I didn't have to follow these stupid rules, I'd have a chance to win a game right now. All because they want to be able to improve the pace of play. How about take a guy out of the bullpen, and instead of giving him seven pitches to warm up, give him three. Right, he just warmed up in the bullpen. Let him get used to the mound, throw three pitches, cut down the time that way. I just think that you're materially changing the strategy of the game when you do this, and I don't like it at all.
Well, don't you think it's also, though, about creating more offense? You know, everything you just detailed sounds pretty entertaining to me. You know, some guy who can't get it up to 95, but, you know, he's tapping out at 92, all of a sudden the ball is in play a lot more. As a fan, I find that much more entertaining than concerning myself with whether or not a manager likes it or not.
Yeah, I think there are other ways to worry about offense in the game, but I would not say to a manager, you have to win, but you can't use your roster. We've just turned into this age where you know, you tell a team you've got to get the most out of your talent. You look at the Tampa Bay Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays, Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays, I asked him this winter, if not for the use of the opener, how many games would you have won? And he said, not 90. I don't know how many. If we had managed it conventionally, I don't know how many we would have won, but it wouldn't have been 90. And what teams are doing now is this new way of managing is giving smaller market teams an opportunity to compete. We've sort of given them a way to level the playing field a little bit, and now what effectively we're doing is saying, yep, that worked, but it worked too well, and now we've got to change it. And I think it really hurts smaller market teams in this way, too, where they can afford bullpenning. They can afford that. They can't afford the big impact starting pitchers. And teams like the Yankees, who have eight deep in their bullpen of elite pitchers, they're fine. If I don't have to pitch a guy back-to-back days or 3 days in a row, I still have an elite arm to go to. The other teams don't. And I think you're disadvantaging small market teams this way, too, because teams like the Yankees, teams like the Dodgers, and that just go out and buy all the bullpen they want, they now can compete in a different way than some of the other clubs can.
So, Steve, there's a lot of people who acknowledge that the game has some issues with, you know, too many strikeouts, too much pitching dominance, too many shifts, not enough scoring, too many home runs, and not enough other types of plays. But there aren't a lot of easy solutions. So I sort of get what Manfred's trying to do here. He's trying to inject at least something to try something to change something. But you don't like that. But do you think they should do anything?
Well, I don't. First of all, I don't think that he's doing this three-pitcher minimum for anything other than pace of play. He doesn't want pitching changes during the inning in order to try to keep the game moving. So I think that's one of the issues. I don't think he's doing it because he thinks it's going to generate offense. I think he's doing it because he thinks that he doesn't want to see so many pitching changes taking place during the course of the game. And I honestly don't think that people at the game I think that if your home team's there, you're there and you want to win and you want your manager to manage the game in a way to win, and I don't think the way that you win is going to matter nearly as much. So, they're going to study moving the mound back. They're going to study lowering the mound and doing those sorts of things. And I think it does need to be studied because I worry about the health and you know, the risk that you're putting pitchers at by changing, you know, the platform from which they throw. But I think that some part of this is cyclical, and I do think there will be adjustments made. And I do think that at some point, players, the way to do it where value will be found is in guys who don't strike out. And then you're going to go through this period where guys don't strike out, but maybe they don't hit as many home runs, and they go back to a competitive level of play. It's always a game of adjustments. We just happen to be in this area where the game's adjusted a certain way. But what we are seeing is we're seeing hitters catch up to the 100-mile-per-hour fastball right now. That they actually, you know, where the velocity's gone up, guys look at it now and think, all right, if the new norm is 100, we can make that adjustment. It's the secondary stuff that can still be effective. So I think people are making a big deal out of something that's not really a big deal just yet. And I think we've seen a lot of that reactionary sort of movement in baseball. We see it in free agency with the union and players. We're seeing it with everybody else. I think you just got to let the cycle run its course, and we'll get back to a different kind of baseball.
With Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 baseball analyst, one big change in 2012 that I am a huge supporter of has to do with the trade deadline. They're going to have one focused single trade deadline like every other league, just like the NHL, NBA, NFL. It's always been overly complex and complicated for the average fan. I don't think it's been very easy to track. But moreover, it's about content. You know, if you're a TV network, if you're a radio show, if you're a scribe, you can lead up to one date and focus on it. I love this move in 2020. As a former GM yourself, do you appreciate what baseball is doing here?
I don't, and here's why. Having been the one to have to put a team together, it really makes it difficult because now, with the trade deadline staying at July 31st, you've got a third of the season left, and you're saying to teams that are on the bubble, you're either all in or you're all out, and there's no in-between. You can't sort of wait it out a little bit, which is what the waiver trade deadline allowed you to do, and it actually put you in a pretty good spot where if you were on the bubble, it meant you were a few games out, you weren't in first place, and it gave you access to better players before teams that were ahead of you in the standings had access to them. Now you're going to have teams make a decision, 2 months left in the season, a third of the season remaining, and they're going to have to say we're in or we're out. And I will tell you, the way teams will look at that is they'll say I'm out. They won't say I'm in. They're going to say I'm out, and we're either going to sell or we're going to stand pat and not do anything. And the idea, I thought, was let's have as many teams in it as we can going down to the month of September and make the races more dramatic and more interesting. That team that's four games out on July 31st is going to look at it and go, geez, I don't know. And then what they're going to do is they're going to win the first eight games in August, and they'll have nowhere to go and improve their team. So that's one part of the problem. The other part of the problem is that having a third of the season where you have nowhere to go to fix a catastrophe or to fix a major injury. So let's say that your starting catcher goes down on August 15th. There's nowhere to go to replace that catcher other than your minor league system bringing up some journeyman guy, and it could completely compromise your ability to win. And you can't trade to go get a premium other catcher while you have one, but when you lose one, maybe there is a guy out there to go get, and you've got no chance to do it. The other thing is this, is that the Josh Donaldson deal last year couldn't happen under this new scenario. Remember, Donaldson was hurt on July 31st. They couldn't trade him because he wasn't even playing then. But he got healthy, and then at the end of August, he was able to get back healthy, show that he could play, and they were able to make a deal. That sort of a trade, if a guy's hurt on July 31st, you've got no chance of him being able to be traded, and you're going to end up with guys that you're going to be stuck with rather than able to trade. So I think there's a lot more complications to it than you think. Leaving a third of the season where you've got no ability to improve your team.
Well, it's no different than any other league, though, Steve. Like, if Kawhi Leonard gets injured tonight, you're that's it. Sorry. You know, you're done. That's just the way it works.
Right.
You know, it's I get where you're coming from because you're looking at it through the lens of a GM, but I'm telling you, from an entertainment purpose, this is a grand slam. Like, yeah, you're going to have a focus on a date.
I don't think it's a grand slam at all. I really don't.
Well, would you push it to the end of August? What if it was the end of August?
Here's the thing. If they're going to take away the waiver trade deadline, then I think they have to at least push the regular non-waiver trade deadline to August 15th. I would be satisfied with that. So you know, that at least it's buying me more time to decide who I am and who I'm not, and to protect myself against some injury to be able to access other players. Because the other challenge that they have is that they're limiting September rosters to 28 players. That's a problem, too, because I'm okay with having 28 players declared as eligible for a game in September, or 26 players, but I think teams should still be able to call up as many as they want. They just have to stipulate which guys are eligible to play. When you only allow a team to have 28 players on their roster in September, remember, there are no minor league seasons, so you have no, if somebody gets hurt, you can't go to AAA and call somebody up. AAA is over. And so what will happen when you have a 26-man roster, that extra guy will be a pitcher, and then when you go to September, you're going to add two guys. You have to add a backup catcher to protect yourself, and you're going to have one other guy. It's either going to be a utility man or it's going to be a pitcher, but you aren't going to be able to sort of protect yourself. And so you're going to end up sending a taxi squad of players down to your spring training site to try to keep them in shape, because you have to protect yourself if there are injuries. You're going to need length. You're going to need a stolen base guy. You're going to need a guy to lead off an inning. You're going to have to send 8 or 9 guys down. And then the question is, the union's going to say, are you paying them? Because their season's over. So do they get paid? Do they get service time? You've got a whole other – so when we come up with these rule changes – they have unintended consequences that maybe you're solving one thing, but it's creating another problem. And I think anytime you create a problem where you're putting at risk the health of players, then whatever you're solving is not worth solving if the solution is risk of health. And I think that's what the 3-pitch batter minimum does. And I think the trade deadline is so restrictive that it puts teams in a bind that they will not be able to protect themselves if there are injuries down the stretch.
All right, before we get you out of here, I promised the audience that I would get to this. I've got to ask you on the spot, the name Sid Fernandez. When you hear the name Sid Fernandez, what is the first thing that pops in your mind?
Sid Fernandez came to spring training in shape, and then during the season he put on 30 pounds. because he would eat, after the game he would eat, then he'd get on the plane, whatever the road trip was, eat on the plane, and then when the plane landed, he'd go to eat. and the other thing about him was that in spring training every year, when it was time for his physical, he'd bring in candlesticks and candles and a bottle of wine for the doctor and say, geez, doctor, if we're going to get close, we might as well have wine and candles and get a little romantic first.
I like it. Reason I bring that up is we had Mark Shapiro on a couple of days ago, and I asked him about Vladdy Guerrero Jr., and he said, well, I had a conversation with CC Sabathia about 20 years ago in Cleveland. And I said, you got to get yourself in shape, because if you stay in shape and you stay committed, you could be a Hall of Famer. If you don't, you're going to go down this road.
You could be Sid Fernandez and eat your way out of the game.
So he dropped the Sid Fernandez line. And yeah. I guess in baseball, that's the analogy to use.
Yeah, I guess so. Sid gets that. Anytime you want a buyout or an annuity, I'm the Bobby Bonilla guy. So we all have our thing, don't we?
That's right, buddy. You know it. Great stuff, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
There's Steve Phillips.